Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is of Avodah Zorah, Daf Mem Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We see a Mishnah at the top of Daf Mem Ches, and we see a diamond. The diamond is also listed as number 3. You can see a Roman numeral number 3 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, or the Mishnah text, in the space between the Mishnah and the Rashi. This is 3 because it's the continuation of two previous diamonded sources, and we feature them in our Mivneh explanation on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. And there we indicated there were 3 Mishnayos, in each one of them a series of 3 halachas. So in the spirit of the series, we continue, Shalosh Asheros Hain, 3 halachas regarding trees. Ilan Shenotoi Mitchilu L'Shem Avodis Echavim, a tree that was planted initially with idolatrous intent, Hare Zu Asura. This will be forbidden until the Gentile comes and voids it and is mevatel it. Number 2, Gidoi Upisloi L'Shem Avodis Echavim, a tree that was growing, and he came along, the Gentile came along, and cut off, or pruned it, or chipped away at the tree, with the intention of worshipping the subsequent growth, v'hichlif, and new growth developed, notel mashihichlif, he shall remove the new growth, and burn it, like one would burn an asherah, which is the requirement of the Torah, and the original material, the original tree that stands, that remains standing, is mutar banos. One is allowed to benefit from it. If one stood an idol underneath the tree and then removed it, hare zu muteres, then the tree is mutar. As we look at the nosei, the topic heading, we've assigned to this gemara in the outside margin, the nosei. The Nosei is an introduction to the Gemara. Birur Divrei Rabbi Yanai, we're going to clarify Rabbi Yanai's law, She'omar, that said, V'hu shehivrich behirkiv begufoy shel ilan. Rabbi Yanai spoke about the process of grafting something into the tree itself. He says that only then a certain thing will apply. This idea, what we want to emphasize right now, is begufo shel ilan. Al ma koi, on what is his comment of v'hu shehivrich v'hirkiv begufo shel ilan, what is that going on? What are the possibilities? So we've recorded them here on the side. Haim bo likboa, is he coming to establish shirak im hivrich v'hirkiv Rak Oz HaTosefes Oser, that the only time additional growth would be Oser is if the additional growth is coming from that which he grafted onto the tree, into the surface of the tree, only then do we say that the subsequent growth is forbidden. Oy Abitel Itma, or possibly number 2, his comment is referring to the voiding aspect of things, namely shafilu im hirkiv beguf ho'ilan, that even if he did an action into the tree itself, shayach heter ayadei netilas ha'tosefes, there still is a possibility of heter by removing the subsequent growth. Turning to the Gemara, Amri debei Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai, in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai, it was said, focusing on the second section of the Mishnah, where it said that he's noitel mashi hichlif, remove the subsequent growth, Rabbi Yanai says, v'hu shehivrich v'hirkiv begufoy shel ilan, that the action that he did originally to create the additional growth was an action of grafting by adding a branch from another tree into the surface of this tree for the purposes of idolatry. But if not, it sounds from Rabbi Yonah, if he didn't do that, then let us say he came to a tree that was growing and he simply determined that I'm bowing down to the new growth of the tree. From this point on, from whatever grows beyond this point, I'm declaring that an avodah zarah, and I'm worshipping the new growth. And what Rav Yanai seems to say, that wouldn't be a problem. Let us clarify that even further. According to Rav Yanai, the problem or the need to remove the subsequent growth is only if he added something by grafting onto the tree, by adding it into the surface, the gufo ilan means into the tree itself. Let us say we have someone that pruned the tree, cut off a branch, and declared that the subsequent growth is something that he is going to worship. In other words, he pruned it for idolatrous purposes in anticipation of the new growth. Well, from Rav Yanai's comment, it sounds that would not be a problem, because pruning it doesn't involve addition to the tree itself. It doesn't involve adding something into the surface of the tree. Well, if that be the case, v'ho anan gido upislo tnan. But the Mishnah seemed to say that even a minor action that promotes new growth creates a problem with regard to the subsequent growth. Even something superficial, just like by cutting off a branch, as opposed to the necessity of doing something into the surface of the tree. So what is the purpose of Rav Yanai's comment? The Gemara answers, and you'll notice we have a long answer marking. This is featured by an encircled tuf to the left side of the Gemara text, between the Gemara and the Tosfos, a tuf encircled with a vertical dashed line. Eloki itmar de Rabbi Yanai. When Rabbi Yanai made his comment, le'inyan bitol itmar, he made it with regard to the issue of voiding. The afalgav dehivrich v'hirkiv begufo shel ilan. Even though he did a severe action, namely he grafted something into the surface of the tree, when he removes the new growth, shapir domi, that is good enough. The mahu de tema, one might have thought without Rav Yanai, kevon de hivrich vehirkiv begufo shel ilan, since he did an action of grafting into the surface of the tree, ki ilan shenoto mitchila domi, it's like a case of a tree planted initially for idolatrous purposes, velitzar hakol, and the whole tree would become prohibited. Komash Malan, Rabbi Yanai informs us that the whole tree does not become prohibited, and the only thing he has to concern himself is with the removal of the new growth that resulted from his grafting. We have a new halacha. What we also do here is we have a slash mark in the Gemara indicating that the subsequent discussion is not tied into that which was mentioned just before. Even though we're talking about the same general topic, this is a new flow of thoughts. Before we proceed into the Gemara itself, let us take advantage of the Nosei Mivneh heading that you see in the margin. The Nosei refers to the topic heading, and Mivneh, a structural note. Because as you look on in the Gemara, you're going to notice some geometric forms that accompany the sugya. In this case, triangles whose position will be changing as the sugya unfolds. We've indicated here in our topic heading, Dinoi Shel Shmuel. We're going to feature Shmuel's halacha, Hamishtacha Vel Ilon Nesara Tosefes, one who bows down to a tree that's already growing. The subsequent growth will become forbidden. We're learning Shmuel's halacha in the context of what we saw in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we saw someone who pruned a tree for idolatrous purposes, and the subsequent growth became usur. Shmuel describes a situation where someone isn't doing anything to the tree itself physically, but merely bowing down to the tree. It's an external an external action, and that too can create a prohibition regarding the subsequent growth. We see triangles in two directions. The note, our comment says, Hamushuloshim Yuodim, the triangles are designed for Kidei Lahokil Almaka Vamasumatan, to ease the flow of keeping track of the give and take, the back and forth discussion in the Gemara. Roiv Hasugya Mivareres Idinoi Shel Shmuel Have Kitanoi, namely a Machlokis Tanoi. Most of the Gemara will be revolving around the issue of whether or not Shmuel's halacha is the subject of a Tanaic controversy, or possibly his halacha is unanimously accepted, is something that all Tanoim would agree with. The E. Omar Dvorov Kedivrei HaKol, and if it be that he made his comment according to all opinions, Olenu Lahazbir Mishnosenu, then it will be upon us, the burden will be upon us to explain the Mishnah which said Gido Pisloi Noito Mashihichlif, where the Mishnah featured an action done directly to the tree, whereby one is expected to remove the new growth. The mashma, the Mishnah implies Raka Yede Maisa HaToisefes Ne'esar, that only because there was a Maisa done, the only, let's read that comment again. The mashma, Raka Yede Maisa La'ilon Atzmo, to the tree itself. It sounded like Joseph, an action done to the tree itself, HaToisefes Ne'esar, that the additional growth becomes forbidden. Udalo Kishmuel, and not like Shmuel, the Afilu Bishtachavo Ne'esar HaToisefes, even with Hishtachavo alone, which was an external action, will the additional growth become forbidden. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, Hamishtachav Le'ilon, one who bows down to a tree. Namely, we're talking about a tree that was planted for kosher purposes, but while it's growing, the person decided to worship the tree. Tosafte Asura, the additional growth, is forbidden. The Gemara asks, Mosiv Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar quotes our mission. You can see it's a Tanaic source, and hence it appears in a frame, as do all framed sections in our Gemara markings, to set off Tanaic material from Gemara literature. Mosiv Rebbe Elazar, we also have a long question marking. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. The source, our Mishnah said, Gido upislo lavadus kochavim v'hichlif, person pruned or cut off, chipped off a tree, and new growth developed. He did this pruning, as the Mishnah says, for idolatrous purposes. Noitel mashiichlif, he is to remove the new growth, and the tree becomes mutter. Gido upistal in, only if an action was done to the tree itself, then we say that he has to remove the additional growth. Loi gido ipislo lo. But if he didn't do a physical action of pruning to the tree itself, well, let's say he merely bowed down to it, lo, there's no need to remove the additional growth. So our Mishnah seems to counter that which Shmuel says. Omar loch Shmuel. Notice we had a triangle with the point facing up just before. That was a question, and now an answer, a response to that. So we have the triangle position point down. Omar loch Shmuel, ha money, the Mishnah which said Gidoi, which is a kula, which is mekil, ha money, who is that? Rabbonan he. That is according to the Tanaic opinion of the Rabbonan. Ushmuel, that's machmir, Shmuel that is stringent, that says even without an action done directly to the tree, that namely by merely bowing to it, the tree, the future growth becomes aser. Shmuel di Omar, ka Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda di Omar. He conforms to Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, who says, Ilon shenotu l'busof avdo aser, that a tree that was planted under kosher circumstances and only subsequently worshipped becomes forbidden. So it comes out at this point, and we've written this in between the lines. This is a very important write-in. Yotzei di Shmuel machlokes tanoim. It comes out that Shmuel is the subject of a Tanaic controversy, that his din, his halach of mishtach aviyun toisves toisvase asura, is only according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara now presents a question. This is a long question. You can see that, once again, with the circled kuf to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and a vertical dashed line, indicating all of these lines of Gemara are part of the question. Maskif lo Ravashi. Ravashi's question will essentially be, what is pushing us to set up Shmuel as a machloikis tanoim? Mimai de Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbonon b'Tosefes Pligi. Who says that their controversy concerns the subsequent growth? Dilma Tosefes, it could be that the subsequent growth, namely which is Shmuel's topic, l'divrei hakol osir, that is also according to all Tanaic opinions, and then Shmuel's din would work out according to everybody. Ube'ikaro Pligi. The machlokes Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regards the basic tree, the original tree. The Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Savar Ikaro Nami Osir. He would hold that even the original tree becomes prohibited. Namely, even without having planted the tree originally for Avodah Zarah purposes, the original tree, by worshipping it like in midlife, the original tree also becomes prohibited. Dichtiv, and he would cite as his source, Vashe Rehem Tisrefun Boesh. The expression Tisrefun is a plural word, that there are asheros, all kinds of asheros. Mashma, two kinds of asheros. What are the two kinds? One is something planted originally for idolatrous purposes, and the second one would be Nata Lulubasof Ofta, planted originally kosher for kosher purposes and only subsequently worshipped. Both of them must be entirely burnt. Let's review the main point. A tree that's worshipped in midlife results in the entire tree, not just the subsequent growth, becoming forbidden. And you've got to destroy the whole tree. V'Rabbanan Savri Ikar Ilon Shori. And Rabbanan would hold that the basic tree, the original tree, is mutter, even though it's worshipped in midlife. Only the additional growth is usher, not the original material prior to his worshipping it, and he would see that Dichtiv Ashereim Tigadeun, and the Rabbanan would derive that from this pasuk, Ashereim Tigadeun, Eizehu Ilon Shegiduo Yosef Ikoro Shori. What kind of tree would we say that only the Giduo Osir? Giduo means that which grows after it's cut off. Only the new growth is Osir, but the Iker remains Mutter. The Iker meaning the original tree Mutter, Heve Omer. That would refer to the case of Ilan Shenatu Lubasov Avdo, planted for kosher reasons and only subsequently worshipped. Maybe that's their machlokas between the machlokas between Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. We're going to now just summarize it or restate it, that according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, the controversy surrounds the original tree becoming usher, but as far as subsequent growth, from the point it's worshipped onwards, everyone would be in agreement that the subsequent growth is usher. The only area of leniency might be regarding the original tree under the circumstances that it wasn't planted originally for idolatrous purposes, but under the circumstances of a tree planted for kosher intent, and only in midlife was the tree worshipped. Then you've got a controversy concerning the original tree. Does it also become osur or not? The Chachamim being lenient. Which psukim were cited? So Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda cited Vashereim Tisrefun Bo'esh to include the case of Notoi Ulebesoif Avdoi. We're emphasizing that Ashereim Tisrefun, according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, is designed to include the case of Noto Lubasov Avdo. The Gemara says here, V'chi Temo Ha Lo Mitarzinon Hachi, but back on Daf Mem Hei Omid Beis, we didn't resolve their Shitos this way. In other words, on Daf Mem Hei Omid Beis, the Pasuk of Asherim Tisrefun Ba'esh was not used by Rabbi Yosi Brihuda for the purpose of Noto Lubasov Avdo. That was used only for the case of Noto mitchila lekach, a tree that was planted originally for idolatrous purposes, which is a more severe situation. But noto lebesof avdo, that was not covered by this pasuk of Ashim Tisrefun back on Mem Hei Omid Beis. So the Gemara says, well, let's not lose any sleep over that. Epuch Rabbonon l'derebi Yosi b'Rebihuda u'derebi Yosi b'Rebihuda l'Rabbonon. Literally, it means switch around the Rabbonon with Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi with the Rabbonon. Basically, on the Gemara on Daf Mem Hei Omid Beis did not cite in a very specific fashion each one's use of the psukim. It was a result. Our conclusion, and namely that which we just said, that Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda used the pasuk Asherim Tisrefun only for the case of Ilon Shenoto Mitchiva Avodah Zara, a tree that was planted originally with idolatrous purposes, that was not said very explicitly on Mem Hamad Beis. As a result of that, we have latitude in changing or redefining or clarifying which psukim are used for what according to whom. If we glance in the Rashi on the first wide line, Hilkoch, we'll read a little bit of the Rashi regarding this last point of the Gemara. Rashi there says, Hilkoch, afich tirutz de Rabbi Yosi, de Tarsis, switch around the answer that was given over there on Mem Hei Omid Beis with regard to Rabbi Yosi, the Emo, and say, Rabbi Yosi me'asherem tisrefun bo'esh. Rabbi Yosi will learn his halacha. Now, Rabbi Yosi halacha, the unique feature of Rabbi Yosi B'Yuda is that Ilon Shenoto Lubasof Avdo, that creates Isser, that would Aser the tree, and say thusly that according to Rabbi Yosi, Vashrim Tisrefun Bo'esh, Demashma Loshen Rabim, Nafgalei Travaihu, he would learn both halachas from that posuk, namely Noto Mitchila, planted originally for idolatrous purposes, and Noto Lubasof Avdo as well. V'Rabbonon Yalfi Hetera Me'avreshrim Tegadeun. And the Rabbonin would learn a leniency, namely that the Iker tree is mutter in the case that it was noto ulubasof avdo. He would learn that leniency mevashirim tegadeun. Rabbi Yosi, what would he do with tegadeun? Miboyale, he would need it for Ligidur Avodas Kechavim Koidman Likibush Eretz Yisrael. He would use it for the order of activity done during conquest of Israel. This, of course, was a topic that we dealt with on Mem Hei Omid Beis. He would use Tegadeun for order of events, which involved first cutting down, before destroying, before burning, cut down, conquer the land, and then after conquest, then go back and burn them. Rabbonon Nafgaluhu, and the Rabbonon would learn the issue of order, me abei to abdun. He would learn it from this pasuk. And by the way, abei to abdun on daf mem hei omid beis, as far as the Rabbonon were concerned, was used for something else. But here we're switching things around. V'chein kula tartzos, and likewise with all of the answers or applications of psukim and halachas. We are not going to deal with this issue any further as far as what psukim were used to teach us what, because what we've done with our Gemara markings, the Shas Ozer, we've equipped you with two charts on the margin whereby you can see very clearly what the Gemara said on Mem Hei Omid Beis. We have there listed along the side, the right side of the chart, going down each row, you have the psukim. And in the chart itself, you have, across the top, you've got the Rabbonin and Rabbi Yosi. And in the chart itself, you see what each one did with each pasuk. Then you can compare what was done on Mem Hei Omid Beis with the second chart, which deals with the suggestion of Rav Ashi right now. And we've called that, we've indicated this is in Mem Ches Omid Aleph, our Gemara here. And once again, you see the psukim listed down the side, the right side of the chart, and what each one learns from those psukim. And all you have to do is compare what each one does on the second chart with what was done on Mem Hei Omid Beis, and you'll see what was intended by this idea of apich, of switch things around. But as far as we're concerned right now, to object to Rav Ashi's suggestion based on the fact that the psukim that we're suggesting now are used to teach something that was different than that was taught on Mem Hei Amid Beis, that doesn't bother us. Because, as we said before, that which was taught on Mem Hei Amid Beis wasn't delineated, it wasn't specified. So there is latitude for changing things around, and we can learn it like we're doing right now. So at this point, we've come to the end of Rav Ashi's question and his suggestion. What's his suggestion? Rav Ashi just suggested Shmuel's halacha might very well be l'divrei hakol. In other words, a tree that was worshipped by bowing down to it, and then there is subsequent growth. The subsequent growth is usur, and that point everyone would agree with. Then where is there room for Tanaic controversy? That concerns the case of Ilan Shenato Lebesof Avdo. Is the Iker tree affected, the original tree as well affected? And concerning that, Rabbi Yossi Yehuda would say yes, and the Rabbanan say no. The Gemara asks, Im Kain, if you're going to say that the din of Shmuel, that through bowing, the additional becomes usur, and at that point is l'divrei hakol, everyone would agree with that. Gido upislo man katoni law. Our Mishnah. Who will be the author of our Mishnah? Once again, what does our Mishnah imply? Our Mishnah implies that subsequent growth becomes usur only through an action done to the tree itself. Who will be the author of that? Lo Rabbanan v'lo Rabbi Yossi b'Yehuda. Our Mishnah won't work out like either one of them. E Rabbanan. If you want to attach the Mishnah as being authored by the Rabbanan, well, below Gido Pislo Nami Tosefes Asura. If you want to talk about the prohibition of the subsequent growth, even without an action done to the tree itself, namely by mere bowing, the subsequent growth would become forbidden. After all, you said Shmuel's din is according to everybody, and that's what Shmuel said. Bowing, which is something that's non-action to the tree itself, creates prohibition regarding the Tosefis. So the Mishnah wouldn't be according to the Rabbanan. E Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and if you wanted to attach our Mishnah and say it's authored by Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Iker Ilan Nami Usser, the original tree itself becomes Usser, and the Mishnah made no indication of the original tree becoming Usser. Now, if you want to leave our Mishnah unauthored, let's say it the other way. If you want to say that that Shmuel's din is according to everybody, then you're going to be leaving our Mishnah unauthored. Therefore, at this point, it's more appropriate for us to say Shmuel, who spoke about Mishtacha Veleilon, the Tosefis is Osir, that Shmuel's halacha conforms to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda alone. He alone would say that the Mishtacha would result in the Tosefis, the additional growth, being Osir, but the Rabbanan would not agree. And the Mishnah that speaks about Gido Pislo resulting in the subsequent being Osir, that is Shitas HaRabbanan. Namely, that the Rabbanan also acknowledge subsequent growth becoming usur, but that's provided an action is done to the tree itself. And that's not what Shmuel said. Shmuel was more stringent in saying that even bowing, which is an action that's done but not to the tree itself, even that creates usur regarding subsequent growth, and we're saying that Shmuel works out only according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Well, at this point, the Gemara comes back and says, and you'll notice because the triangle has point up now, this is a response to what was just concluded. And we're going to go back and say, like Rav Ashi said, and you'll notice how the triangle matches the same position that we had with Rav Ashi, and say that really Shmuel works out according to everybody. Shmuel is according to the Divrei HaKol. He's not the subject of a Tanaic controversy. Now you'll ask, well, what about authorship of the Mishnah? So to that we say, Iboy Yisemo Rabbonon, Iboy Yisemo Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah can be explained, if you like, according to the Rabbonon, and if you like, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. And here the Gemara spells it all out. Iboy Yisemo Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, if you like, you can set up the Mishnah Rabbi Yosi Buda. Ki Ka'ama Rabbi Yosi Buda. When is it that Rabbi Yosi Buda said that Noto Lubasov Ovdo, even the Iker becomes Aser? Below Gido Upislo, Iker Ilon Aser Bistamo. Without, if there's no pruning done to the tree, then we can say, since there is no action done to the tree itself, that's provided there was no that which we say that the Iker Ilon becomes Usur, that's provided an action wasn't done to the tree itself, then we say Usur Bistama, it most likely the entire tree becomes Usur. Avol Gido Upislo, if someone pruned the tree with idolatrous purposes, Goli Adaite de Betoisefes Nichole, Bikrilin lo Nichole, that I'm interested, it's almost it's something declarative. He's announcing, he's showing us that by the pruning action, I'm interested in the new growth alone. And therefore the Mishnah teaches no til mashi hichlif. But I'm not interested in the original tree being included as idolatrous. Therefore, the Mishnah can be ascribed to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. And Shmuel also works out according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, as well as according to everybody. We're saying Shmuel's din of Mishtachaveh, the Elon, the Tosefes is Osir. As far as Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, it's true the Tosefes is Osir, but the original tree would also become Osir because he didn't do anything to show any distinction between the original tree and the original future growth. The Mishnah itself features Gido Pislo. Under such circumstances, Rabbi Yosi Buda would agree that only the subsequent growth is Osir and not the original tree. Iboy Esema Rabbonon. As far as explaining the Mishnah is concerned, even though bowing to the tree also asers the Tosefes, it's necessary to feature the case of pruning the tree to suggest that the new growth is Usr, and that the Mishnah is here to teach us that even though he did an action to the tree itself, it's sufficient to remove only the new growth, to matir it. And that's what Gido Pisl Itzirichole tells me. Salkodaita Chamina, without the Mishnah, I would have thought, came into Ovadle Maise Begufe, since he did an action to the tree itself, Ikarilo Nami Litzar. Maybe the original tree should also become Usur, not only the subsequent growth. Komash Malon, the Mishnah is telling me that the original tree remains Mutter. The Mishnah. Ezo Ashera. What is an Ashera? Kol Sheyesh Tachtel Avidus Kochavim. That which has underneath it an idol. Reb Shimon Omer Kol Sheoivdin Oisa. That which is worshipped. A tree that is worshipped. Umaisa Betsidon Beilon Shehoyu Oivdin Oisa. Umotsu Tachtel Gal. An incident happened in the town of Sidon, that there was a tree that was being worshipped, and they found underneath the tree a heap. Omar Lohan Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon told the people there, Bidku es hagal hazeh, check out this heap. Bodku, they checked out the heap. Umotsu bo tsura, and they found in the mound, and in this heap, they found an image. Omar Lohan, Hoyu Ulitsuro Hain Ovdin, since they were really worshipping they were in bowing down to that tree with the heap under it, they were in effect worshipping the form that was there. Natir Lohem Esho Ilan. We can declare the tree itself as being allowed. From this Mishnah it sounds then that the Tanakhama says a tree that has under it an idol, the entire tree becomes Usur. According to Rav Shimon, a tree that has underneath it an idol, the tree itself is mutter, because they are focusing their worship on the idol and not the tree. The Gemara asks, concerning the opening of this Mishnah, Eizehu Asherah, the question of what is the Asherah, sounds like there's one Asherah. There's only one kind of Asherah. V'hanan Shalosh Asheros Tanan. But we had in our previous Mishnah, three halachas concerning Asherah, three situations of Asherah. The Gemara answers, Hochi Komar, Shtayim Divrei HaKol. Two halachas concerning Asherah are unanimously accepted. Everyone agrees with them. The Achas Machloikis Rabbi Shimon V'Rabbanan. And one of those three is the subject of controversy. And what we have here is, we keep reading, we have a framed section whereby our Mishnah is threaded into the Gemara. One of them is a machlokas, we understand the Mishnah as follows. Eizohi Asherah shenechleku ba Rav Shimon Chachamim. What is the case of Asherah, which is the subject of controversy? Kol sheyesh tachta Rav Shimon Chachamim. You'll notice that this, in fact, was the third case that was taught in the previous Mishnah. That case is the subject of a machlokas. Any tree, what is the subject of controversy? A tree that has underneath it an idol. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol she'ovdin oisa. If a tree has underneath it an idol, according to Rabbi Shimon, that does not make the tree into Asherah. Only a tree that itself is worshipped. We have a period in our Gemara, in our Mark Gemaras, indicating that that which follows is, as Rashi terms it, milsa ba'api nafsha. This is a comment in the Gemara that doesn't attach itself to that which was just previously mentioned. Ezohi asherah stam. What is an example of an asherah that if you don't know anything about it, you can assume that it is an asherah? What sign is there that we can recognize it as being an idolatrous tree? Amar Rav, kol shekomrim yoshvin tachtel v'ein toyamin miperosel. Any type of tree, they have priests sitting underneath it and refuse to taste from its fruits. Ushmul Amar afilu amri. Even a case where they say, Hani Tamri Lebei Natsarfi, where they dedicate that these dates that growing on this palm are for Bei Natsarfi. Bei Natsarfi is the name of an Avodah Zarah, where they're dedicating the dates to this house of worship. Also, the tree is forbidden. Derami Bei Shichra Vashasi Le Biyom Edom. What they do with those dates is they make beer out of it and drink it on their holiday. Omar Amemar, Omar Amruli Sabi de Pumbadisa, the sages of Pumbadisa told me, Hilchasa Kishmuel, that the halacha follows Shmuel, namely, that even if they dedicate the dates to the beer making of Bei Natsarfi, that tree is also a tree that is worshipped. The top of Mem Ches Amud Beis, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses sitting in the shade of an Asherah tree. Now, when we talk about sitting in the shade, there are three types of shade that one might note before learning the sukkah. There is actually a little diagram that we've included in the inside margin to illustrate this. You can see a tree, and there's that which is called on the chart, on the diagram, Tachas Hanof, that which is immediately underneath the tree. That's shade created by the branches themselves. That shade and the shade would exist under the branches alone and not off to the sides of the tree when the sun is overhead. We have a number 5 that you see on this diagram with arrows indicating the height of the tree. The number 5 is an arbitrary number, just we're saying it's the tree is 5 meters tall, or 5 feet tall. The second illustration of shade would be shade that exists from the edge of the branches outwards for a distance that corresponds to the height of the tree itself. In other words, if this tree were to fall, it would fall onto this area that corresponds to its height. That is called tsail koimosa. That's shade cast when the sun veers off, starts when it's not overhead. So when you have the sun not overhead, the length of the shade that's cast is, of course, it gets longer. The quality of the shade under the at the point called tsail koimosa is considered a dark type of shadow, a dark shadow. There is a third situation of shade, which is called tsail tsila. That's shade that exists at a length on the floor that is greater than the tsail koimosa. So in other words, in our example, any shade that exists beyond the 5 feet from the edge of the branches on the floor, from the point of 5 feet onwards, that's called tsail tsila. That's a less dark type of shade. As we learned the Mishnah, we cannot commit ourselves to any specification because that the Gemara will deal with. The Mishnah says, Lo yeshev b'tzila, v'im yoshav tohor. One shall not sit in the shadow, and if one does sit in the shadow, he remains tohor. V'lo yavor tachteha, one shall not pass underneath the branchwork of the tree, v'im ovar tome. If he walks under the branches of the tree, he becomes tome. Now, if you just contrast this with the line just before, we spoke about someone sitting and remaining tor, it's obvious that the resha was talking about an individual who was not seated under the branches themselves. That even though the Mishnah spoke about sitting in the shade, he could not have been seated under the branches themselves, because under the branches themselves communicates tumah. And the Reisha said, the first part of the Mishnah said, he's tohor, he remains pure. Hoysa geizeles esarabim, if you have a tree, an idol worship tree, a nasherah, whose branches are going overshadowing a public thoroughfare, the ovar tachta, and one walked under the branches while they were overshadowing a public thoroughfare, tohor, the person remains tohor. It's noteworthy that the tumah that's featured here, the tumah created by Avodah Zarah, is a tumah d'rabbanan. It's a rabbinic type tumah, and therefore there is latitude for deciding or declaring when the tumah applies and when it does not apply. As we look on in the Gemara, we notice that we have in the markings to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text an aleph, and a few lines later a beis. This represents two lishonos, or two stages. More accurately, two lishonos. And on the beis, the line opposite the beis, you'll notice a squiggle underlying expression, Iko demasni lo asefa. The comment that's made in the opening part of the Gemara will be referred to the seifa of the Mishnah, namely the second clause of the Mishnah, as opposed to in the first lashon, it's applied to the first clause. The topic heading that we've assigned to this sugya on the outside, the nosei, tsail shel asherah, we're dealing with the shade of an asherah tree, losheves, regarding sitting, and loleches, and walking, and tumah, regarding the communication of impurity. In our markings, we'll notice a double underline that emphasizes the expression michlal, and the michlal is a word that deals with the that which is inferred from. And they represent she'elos al pi diukim. These are questions that are based on inferences. So now let's turn to the Gemara. Lo yeshev b'tzila. The Mishnah declared, don't sit in the shade. Pshita. Well, that's obvious, because if you're sitting in the shade, then you are benefiting from the Avodah Zarah. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Nitzrcha Elo Letzeil Tzila. The prohibition of the Mishnah is including even the extended shadow level. We mentioned three levels of shadow cast by the tree. This is the weakest form of shadow, the furthest out from the tree. Even that, one is not allowed to sit there, because that would constitute benefiting from the Avodah Zarah, from the idol. Michlal, one can infer from this, the Betzel Koimosa. Before going on, let's just be, for the sake of precision, let's read the Mishnah with this conclusion, that when the Mishnah says Lo Yeshev Betzila, we're saying you shall not sit in the furthest form of shadow casting. Ve'im Yashav, if one sits there, Tohor, then he will not absorb impurity. He will remain pure. Well, one can infer from that the following. Michlal, the Betzel Koimosa Im Yoshav Tomei. Are we to infer from that if one sat in the middle level of shadow, the Tzeil Koimosa, and you can refer back to the diagram, if he sat there, he would become Tomei. So are we to conclude that? Loi, don't conclude that. Rather, the Afilu Tzeil Koimosa Nami Im Yoshav Tor. Even if he sat in that middle quality shadow, he would remain tahor. V'hol kamashmalan, and the Reisha is informing us that afilu letzel tzilo lo yeshev. The Reisha's chiddush is not in terms of the tahor tahara; it's in terms of the prohibition of sitting in the first place. That even though it's a weak form of shadow, nevertheless he shall not sit there. Iko demasni lo asefa. There are those that apply this discussion to the second clause of the Mishnah, as follows. V'im yoshav tohor. And if one sat in the shade, one remains tohor. So the Gemara says, pshita. That seems to be obvious. He's not sitting under the tree. He's sitting merely in the shadow of the tree. Omar Rabba Barachan, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Nitzrcha, this comment that he's tor is needed Ella Letzel Koimosa. The Mishnah is telling me that if he sits under the Tzel Koimosa, in the Tzel Koimosa shadow, he remains tor. Michlal, one can infer from this that if you're going to set up the Mishnah as dealing with the Tzel Koimosa, once again, if you read the Mishnah, and you would the opening line of the Mishnah would say, Lo Yeshev Betzila, don't sit in the Tzel Koimosa, and if he sat there, he would remain Tohar. Michlal, one can infer from that, the Letzel Tzila, if you're dealing with the lowest form, the weakest form of shadow, Afilu Lechadchilo Yeshev, that we would allow him to sit there initially, at the outset, he can sit there. And that's an unlikely conclusion. So the Gemara says, no, don't conclude that, Loi. Don't say that the Mishnah is giving license to sit lechadchila in the Tzeil Tzila. Rather, ha komash malon. The Seifa of the Mishnah, which featured the phrase v'im yoshav tohor, is telling me de'afilu letzel koimosa, even though it's a higher quality of shadow, im yoshav tohor, if he sits there, whereas even if he sits there, he remains tohor. But as far as license to sit, there is no license to sit lechadchila, even in the Tzeil Tzila. V'lo yavor tachteho v'im ovar tomei. The nosei, the topic heading we've assigned to this section of Gemara, says ta'am l'tumo, the source or the reason for the tumah, l'misha ovar tachas noifu asherah, for someone who passes under the branches of the worship of the idol tree. The Gemara asks, my taima, the Mishnah that says that if one passes under the branches, he becomes tameh. Why? Answer, it's impossible that there isn't an offering to the idol that is under the tree. Once again, under an Asherah, there's definitely takruvas of Eretz Yehovim. Money, well, who is responsible for that? Who is the author of that halacha, that takruvas of Eretz Yehovim creates tuma? In this case, we're talking about tuma that would be communicated through overshadowing, because we're talking about a person who's walking under the branches of an Asherah tree, and since there's a takruvas of Eretz Yehovim present under the branches as well, the one walking under the tree is experiencing being overshadowed by the branches of the tree, which are overshadowing him and the takruvas at the same time. And being that a person is covered by something covering him and this other thing, if we say he becomes tamei, we're telling you that tumas oihel exists. Tumas oihel is the term for overshadowing, which communicates tuma. That exists for offerings made to idols. So to that we ask, who authors that? Who is behind such an idea? Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserahi, the Sanya. The Gemara answers that the author of such a sheet as Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserah is seen in the following Tanaic source, which features Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserah Omer, minayin letakruvas of Eretz Yehovim shemetame boil. From where do we know that offerings made to an idol, that their tumah is communicated through overshadowing? Shinemar, the pasuk says, vayitzmedu lebal pa'or, vayochlu zivvechei mesim. They were worshipping the pa'or, and they ate zivvechei mesim. And the Gemara focuses now on the last two words in this pasuk, ma mes metame boil. Just like we know that a mes, that a corpse, communicates tuma through overshadowing. In other words, if a person is under the same roof or the same branch work as a corpse, even though he doesn't touch the corpse, by the mere fact that he and the corpse are under the same covering, the individual becomes tome. Af takruvas of Eretz Yehovim, so too the offering to the idol mitame boil, and that we saw in the pasuk says zivchei mason. The zivchei are the offerings to the idol. Hoysogizeles es arabim viovar tachtel tohor. The Mishnah described a tree whose branches were protruding over a public thoroughfare. And the Mishnah describes someone who passes under such branch work on the while walking over through the public thoroughfare. The tuma communicated by tumas oil that we just finished describing of the Asherah does not affect him. Ibayalaho. Here the Gemara wants to clarify. Ovar oiver. Does the situation of overshadowing a public thoroughfare mean that a person remains tor if he happened to pass under the branches, but we don't tell him that he's allowed to, that he should pass under there l'chatchila? That's the idea. Ovar means he happened to walk under it, but not that he should walk there l'chatchila. Over means that we're telling the person, go right ahead l'chatchila and walk under the branches and you will remain tohar. Rabbi Yitzchok ben Elozer Mishmei Dechizkia Omar Over. Rabbi Yitzchok is of the opinion that the Mishnah is instructing the person that he is able l'chatchila to walk under the tree. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Im Ovar. That the Mishnah implies that only if he happened to walk under it, but not that he should, not that he's allowed to initially walk under it and expect to remain tohar. Velo pligi, and the Gemara says that these two opinions that we've noted with Aleph and Beis are not in controversy with one another. Ha deika dirka achrina, the suggestion that the Mishnah is saying imovar, that is true, as let's say post facto, if he happened to pass under it, he'll be tohar. That's talking about a situation where he has another path. He has another path that would not have cost him any more time, and we say that under such circumstances, he's not he's not allowed to initially go under the Asherah tree and expect to remain tahar. If he happened to, then he's tahar. Now, ha, the daya that said over, which was reflected by Rabbi Yisuk ben Elazar, that's, we tell him, go right ahead and walk under the tree, and you will remain tahar. That's the leka dirka achrina. That's a case where he has no alternative path of equal length. This issue of equal length is something that is alluded to, that is spoken by the Tosfos on the upper part of the page, Dibor Masel e deika. Omar le Rav Sheshes l'sham e. Rav Sheshes, who was blind, said to his servant, Shamei, his shamash, the one who accompanied him, to his assistant, Ki motis lahasam, when we get there, then he's referring to a place that there's a an Asherah tree overshadowing the public path. So he says, when we get there, our hitni, let's run through, help me run under it, run by. Hechi domi, what are the circumstances with Rav Sheshes' story? E deleko dirko achrino, if there is no alternative path, lomali arhitni, mishra shari, why is there any need to hasten? There, it's quite allowed, it's mishra shari, it's totally allowed. The e deiko dirko achrino, if there is an alternative path, ki omar arhitni, mishari, by running under it, does that make it any more permissible? If you have an alternative path, then you're supposed to seek out initially the alternative path and not walk under the idol worshipping tree. The Oilom Deleko Dirka Achrina, the story involving Rav Sheshes was that there is no alternative path. The question is, why was he strict upon himself and insisted on running under it? The Adam Choshev Shiny, a person of importance, like Rav Sheshes, is different, whereby they behave with greater stringency than the general public. The Mishnah. Zorin tachteha yerokos b'moys hagshamim, aval lo b'moys hachama. One is allowed to plant vegetables under an idol worship tree during the winter season, where that's a time that the shade cast by the tree will be of no benefit to the vegetables, and hence he's not benefiting from the idol worshipping tree. Therefore, it's all right. Aval lo b'moys hachama, not to plant things under an idol worshipping tree during the summer season, because during the summer season the shade is beneficial for the new plants. V'hachazirin, this type of vegetation called chazirin, lo b'moys hachama v'lo b'moys hagshamim, that is not allowed to be planted even during the winter season, because the chazirin benefit from the shade all seasons. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af lo yerokos b'moys hagshamim. Rabbi Yossi is seemingly more restrictive than the Tanakhama, in that he prohibits the planting of vegetables even during the winter season under the Asherah tree. Now you'll say, what problem could there possibly be? It's not going to benefit from the shade during the cold season. Mipnei shanavia neisheras alehen, because there is the foliage that is shed by the tree, the leaves that are shed by the tree during the winter season. Vehavu lehen lezevel, the foliage turns into fertilizer. So in effect, he is benefiting from the idol worshipping tree. The Gemara raises a question. It's a long question. You can see it's indicated by the kuf that you see in a diamond with a vertical dashed line to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. All of the lines opposite this dashed vertical line are part of the question. Before we go further in the Gemara itself, we glance at the side, the nosei. The nosei is called ze veze goreim. That refers to a situation where you have a product which results from two causes, two sources of input, if you will, one being mutter and one being usser. What is the din, what is the law regarding the product, the outcome? In our Mishnah, if you look at the last example, the foliage from an Avodah Zorah tree and the plants that grow there, what contributes to the growth of the plants? Well, on the one hand, you have the foliage. That represents a goreim of Iser. It's the foliage from an idol worship tree. On the other hand, you have the ground itself. The ground itself is a goreim of Heter. That's mutter. That's karka oilam is mutter. From the Mishnah, it seems that Rabbi Yossi is strict with regard to zeh v'zeh goreim. And the Rabbonon, the Tanakama, who didn't seem to be concerned with the winter season planting underneath the Asherah tree, they seem to be of the opinion that zeh v'zeh goreim is mutter, is allowed. The problem is that these shitas appear in an opposite form in another source. Let us now see the Gemara. Actually, before that, we should also take note of the markings. We have a diamond here. This is featured under our Mivneh heading, the outside margin. And we have an indication that this goes till Mem Tes Omen Aleph. Shtei Kushios Bebirur Ikviot Bashitos. We will see two questions that focus on the consistency of the consistency of shitos, and concerning Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. Our indication of till Memtes means that the questions last till Memtes. As far as the presence of the diamonds themselves, those appear on this Amid alone. There is no subsequent appearance of the diamonds in a question capacity on Mem Tes Amid Aleph, but the questions themselves do continue till Mem Tes. Once again, the main issue is consistency of shitos. The general topic is zeh v'zeh goreim, two causes, one being mutter, one being usser, and a product that results. Is the product allowed or not? So let us now turn to the Gemara. Lemeimra de Rabbi Yossi Sovar. Are we to assume that Rabbi Yossi holds zeh v'zeh goreim usser, v'rabbonan amri zeh v'zeh goreim mutter? What are the two goremim to review? The Nevi'ah, the foliage, represents Iser. The Karka Oilam represents Heter. What's the problem? But we've heard them in an opposite form. Disnan. Here's another source, a familiar Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Omer, when dealing with the destruction of Avodah Zorah, of idols, Rabbi Yossi says, Shochek v'zoreh l'ruach oimati liyam. Grind them up and cast them into the wind or into the sea. And he's not concerned with the zevel, with the fact that the filings can turn into a fertilizer. Omru lo, the chachamim say afhinas zevel. The filings become fertilizer. V'nemar v'lo lo yidbag biodchom u'minacherim. And the pasuk says that you shall benefit, receive no benefit from avodah zaras. So once again, you have a situation of fertilizer in the context of avodah zara material. Fertilizer is a goreim of iser in this case, and you have the ground being a goreim of heter. Who is mekil? Rabbi Yossi is mekil. Who is machmir? The chachamim are machmir. What did we see just before? We saw Rabbi Yossi in zeh v'zeh goreim being machmir, not allowing the planting under the tree in the winter season because of fear of the foliage benefit. Kashya the Rabbonon ad Rabbonon, Kashya the Rabbi Yossi ad Rabbi Yossi. We seem to have a stira between, a contradiction in the shitos of Rabbonon and within the shitos of Rabbi Yossi. Bishlomo de Rabbi Yossi ad Rabbi Yossi lo kashya. As far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, we don't have to say that there's an actual contradiction, and say as follows. In general, zeh v'zeh goreim is usser. Under all circumstances, when you have two contributing factors, one of heter, one allowed, one kosher, and one unkosher, the product is forbidden. The question then is, why in the case of Shochek Bezor L'Ruach is he seemingly lenient? Hosam de Ka'ozil L'Ibud Matir. Hacha de lo Ka'ozil L'Ibud Osur. Let's explain this. In the case of Shochek Bezor L'Ruach, the Gemara uses the term de Ka'ozil L'Ibud. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi in the lower part of the narrow lines, you'll see a diamonded expression there. Hosam Ka'ozil L'Ibud Avda hu miskaven, or la'abda hu miskaven. The owner, or the individual there, his intention is for destruction. He ground up the idol, casts the filings into the wind. His intention is purely destructive. Ukvar bot lavodis kochavim. And because of this purely destructive intention, the idol becomes voided. And it's no more severe than a case of an idol that fell apart on its own. Hilkoch leko zev ze goreim. You don't have two contributing factors, one that's prohibited. There is no prohibited factor. Share ein kan iser kol kach. There isn't any real iser in this case. The afilu rabbonon lo asri elamishum gzeiro dilma magdalei. Even the rabbonon who don't like the shochek v'zora l'ruach approach, their fear is only that you might pick it up before you grind it and acquire it for yourself, and then it becomes an avodah zorah sheyisrael that has no bittul. Kudminon bereish pirkin, as was already established. So as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, if you have a goreim of iser with a goreim of heter, the product is forbidden. In the case of shochek v'zora l'ruach, that is a case where there isn't a goreim of iser whatsoever, because the filings are totally mutter because of the fact that his intention was purely destructive. In the Mishnah, on the other hand, taking a look at Rashi, Hocha lo ozel l'ibud, Rashi on the first wide line under the Gemara, he says, here it's not l'ibud, share darka bakach. We're talking about the falling of the leaves from an idol tree, from an asherah tree. Its normal development is like that. It's seasonal. Every season, the leaves are shed. V'ein avod is kechav v'betela, derak ililosa. And we know, actually, we've seen this in the Gemara at the top part of Mem Beis Amud Beis, that avodah zarahs are not voided if whatever happens is in its normal course of development. Hilkoch iser hanoah hu. Therefore, the tree leaves, the shed leaves, are forbidden to benefit from. Zev is a gorei moser, and we know that Shitas Rabbi Yossi is two factors where one is prohibited, the product likewise is prohibited. So as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, no problem. Elo de Rabbonon ad Rabbonon kashya. But as far as the Shitas Rabbonon, if you focus on them, we run into a big problem. We see that the Rabbonon hold even in Ozil le'ibud, they're restrictive. That was the case of Shochek v'zor l'ruach, the Rabbonon were restrictive. Therefore, how could it possibly be where you have something that's lo ozel l'ibud, which is a more severe situation? How could they matir, as in the case of the planting under the asherah tree during the winter season, where they seem to have no problem with that? The Gemara answers, epuch, switch around our Mishnah. And what would happen then is that the Rabbonon will prohibit the planting underneath the tree because of the Nevi'ah. Taking a look at Rashi, Epuch, Kulo Masnisen, switch around the Mishnah, and according to the Mishnah then, the Rabbonon would aser planting underneath the tree because of the foliage. Velo Tishni de Rabbi Yossi ad Rabbi Yossi Kedishonis, and we won't resolve Rabbi Yossi as we just tried to do. So if you switch around the Mishnah, then things should work out very well. What happens? The Rabbonon are restrictive. What did we see in the other source? In the case of Shochek v'zora l'ruach, the Rabbonon were also restrictive. If we switch around our Mishnah, how does Rabbi Yossi come out? Rabbi Yossi comes out, you are able to plant. He is lenient. What was Rabbi Yossi's shita with the Shochek v'zora l'ruach? Also lenient. Continuing in the Gemara, V'iboy esemo, another approach, lo tepuch. Don't switch anything around. To Rabbi Yossi kedeshonin, Rabbi Yossi will remain as we answered him. Namely, only if it's ozil li'ibud will he be matir. But in general, zev ezeh goreim will be osir. The Rabbonan, Rashi points out, also hold zev ezeh goreim is osir. But if that be the case, and we're not switching anything around, how is it that the Rabbonan are lenient in the case of the foliage during the, namely the planting under the Asherah tree during the winter season, and they are not concerned with the foliage? So the answer to that will be as follows. Before, Mora will tell us that in the final picture, the foliage, though may be beneficial, there is greater loss than gain. The greater loss being from the shade cast during the winter, the cold season. So that if any gain there might be from the foliage, from this fertilizer, will be offset by the loss by having been planted underneath the Asherah tree during the winter season. This idea is derived from another topic, totally unrelated, but the principle is the same, namely where benefit is offset by greater loss. That's the principle. The source that's cited over here has to do with the skinning of a bechor. A bechor is a firstborn animal that's dedicated to, that becomes a korban that's given to the kohanim and is brought as a korban. Let's say for greater accuracy, we should talk about the skinning of psule hamukdashim. These are korbonas that developed a mum. And a korban that develops a mum is redeemed. And the money value that you get from that, you then bring a korban with it. Optimally, we would like to be able to fetch as much money as possible, and thereby be able to buy a new, more expensive korban with the money achieved from the redemption. There is a halacha concerning the skinning of these animals. The skinning of them could be done by, there's no regular skinning, and there's another situation where one skins an animal by preserving the skin intact, whereby the resulting skin could be then converted into a bellows, becomes like a balloon, and could be used by a blacksmith as a bellows. The Gemara will tell us in a very brief fashion that if you do skin it for that purpose, even though the bellows is worth a lot of money, the process in removing the skin to get it whole ruins the meat. Apparently you have to shred a lot of meat and you don't get nice cuts of meat. So that if a person is going to consider the skinning of an animal in a for a bellows, he has to realize that he's going to end up losing value as far as the meat is concerned. The halacha says that when you're dealing with psule hamikdashim, therefore, one is not allowed to skin the psule hamikdashim for a bellows, because this constitutes bizoyon kochim. How is that? Because, as we said, you're ruining the meat. So even though there may be gain in the skinning, you're still losing on the meat. As a result of that, we say that we prohibit the redeeming of the psulim mikdashim with that intent in mind, because in the final picture, you're going to end up losing more than you gain. This you can see in the Rashi. Several lines from the bottom, you'll notice it says Tmura Daf Chof Dalet in parentheses. So we say there, Gabi Ein Margile Bipsil Mikdoshim, Lahavshit Derech Haraglayim, Keima Poach Shel Napachim. We don't skin it by removing the skin from the feet, as one would do in preparing a bellows. Bali Mumin Shinivdu, this is a reference to blemished animals that were redeemed. V'shochton Litzorchon, he was able to slaughter them for his own purposes. V'afal Pisho Or Nimkar B'yoker, even though the skin may be sold at great value, also lahargil, it's also to do this, to have it removed for skinning purpose, for bellows purposes, because it results in a desecration of that which was once holy. Shemekalkil habosar, he's ruining the meat that way. Let us now turn to the before we turn to the Gemara, the Rashi himself says Kashyalon Hasam. We ask the question, if you're going to tell me not to skin it for a bellows, Amai Hop Seido the Hekishu, is it not causing a loss to the Beis Hamikdash? The Ihavishoris Leila Hargil, if you would allow a person to do Margilin to the Psule Hamikdashim that he's redeemed, if you would allow him, the limkor or bioker, he would be able to sell the skin that's now a bellows and fetch a high price for it. Havi tofi poriklu, and because he has this option, he will add more money. He will offer a higher price for redeeming that animal. Havi tofi poriklu meikora vishoni Rav Mori, and Rav Mori answers leko pseda, by restricting him from skinning it for a bellows, there is no loss to Hegdish. Why is that? The Mashemashbiach, the Demeor, that which he would profit in the money that he fetches for the skin, Pogain B'Demei Abos, you will end up losing in terms of the meat value. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing an example of net loss. Turning back to the Gemara, the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan who also hold Zev Zagorim is Aser, you'll ask, why is it that they allow the planting under the in the shade of an Asherah tree? Isn't there benefit from the foliage? So Kidomar of Mori Breder of Kahana, just like he says over there with regard to the skinning of the Psule Hamukdoshe, Mashemashbiach Baor, whatever he would gain in the bellows that he gets from the skinned animal, Pogay Baboser, he'll end up losing in the meat value. Hochanami, so too over here, with regard to the vegetables under the tree during the winter season, Mashemashbiach Menavia, whatever he gains from the foliage, Pogay Batsail, he ends up losing in terms of the shade that's cast. The Gemara asks, Vesavar Rabbi Yossi Zevezagorem Oser, does Rabbi Yossi really hold like that? As would appear in our Mishnah, that he restricts the planting under the Asherah tree because of fear of benefiting from the foliage, which is a goreim of Isser, even though there's a goreim of Heter, namely the ground. But for Hotnan, we have the following source. The following source, with the accompanying Gemara afterwards, says, Yossi Omer. Here it's the same Rabbi Yossi, says, Noitin Yichur Shel Orla, one is allowed to take a branch from an Orla tree. That's a tree during its first 3 years of development. We're talking about, of course, a fruit tree, which the fruit during the first 3 years is forbidden, and it's called Orla. One is allowed to take a shoot from that tree and plant it. There's no Din Orla on branches of young trees. The ain noitin egois shall orlo if they shoot pre, but one's not allowed to plant a nut of a young tree within its first 3 years, because that's the pre, that's the fruit, and the fruit is also to benefit from. The Omer of Yudam Arav, Moide Rabbi Yossi, Sheim Nota Vihivrich Vihirkiv, Rabbi Yossi admits, or he concedes, that if one did plant the nut, mutter, that it's allowed. So that you have here, even though the nut is a gorem of Isser, the karka olim is a gorem of Heter. The Tanyonami Hachi, and we have a Tanaic source that supports this ruling of Rabbi Yehuda. It says, Moide Rabbi Yossi, Shim Nota Vihivrich Vihirkiv Mutter, that if one did plant the nut of the Orla tree, the growth is allowed. V'chitema shani le'le Rabbi Yossi ben shari surim avodus gechavim. You might say, okay, we've seen here in the case of Orla that Rabbi Yossi is lenient, but that's because there's a difference between other mitzvahs, other prohibitions, and avodah zorah, which was the topic of our Mishnah, the Asherah tree. And therefore, in the case of other Isurim, he is lenient. In the case of Avodah Zorah, which is a more severe realm, he is restrictive. Ah, but you can't say that. Umi Shani Lei, but does he make such a distinction? The Hotanya, you have the following Tanaic source that, in which we'll see that he doesn't make a distinction between other Isurim and Avodis Kochovim. What does it say? Sodesh Nizdablo Bezevel Avodis Kochovim. A field that was fertilized with fertilizer that came from idols, v'chein pora shenispatmo b'karshin avodis kochavim, and a cow that was fattened up with feed that came from idols. Tani chada sada tizra pora tishchat. One source says, and we're labeling this aleph with a diamond around it, one source says the field is allowed to be cultivated, and the animal can be slaughtered, and you can benefit from its meat. V'tanya idach, and another source is more restrictive, it says, sada tavur upara tirzeh, that the field shall be laid fallow, and the animal shall be thinned, in other words, not to have benefited from the avodah zarah food. My lav, what would be the resolution of these two sources that we've noted with aleph and beis, diamonds? Ha Rabbi Yossi, the source aleph, which is lenient, would be Rabbi Yossi, as we saw, he was lenient in the case of the Orla. And here we're talking about Avodah Zorah, so we see that he is lenient across the boards in the realm of Zev Izer Goreim, whether it be Orla, or even Avodah Zorah. And by the way, with the case of the feed and the animal development, the seed, the fertilizing of the field, that's also a case of Zer V'Zer Goreim. You have the fertilizer and you have the field itself, which is Mutter. And likewise with the animal feed, you have the Karshine Avodah Zorah, and you have other things that the animal eats. And we see that Rabbi Yossi does not make a distinction. So at this point then, we have a problem. So the Gemara answers, loy. In general, Rabbi Yossi does make a distinction and will be machmir only by Avodah Zorah, and not be makil by Avodah Zorah. Well, what about the two sources that we just had, Aleph and Beis, with the diamonds? That represents two other Tanoim, Ha Rebbe Elazar, the Ha Rabbanon. The Machmir, the Beis source, that's Rebbe Elazar, and the Aleph source, that's lenient, that's the Rabbanon. As far as who they are or where their Shitas are reflected, that will be the subject of a discussion next time. So with that, we have basically said that as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, Zev is a goreim, is a problem with regard to Avodah Zorah, and if you find him to be makil in another realm, that's true, because only with regard to Avodah Zorah will Rabbi Yossi be stringent. With regard to Orla and other Isurim, Rabbi Yossi will be lenient. As far as resolving these two sources that were just cited, that is a reference to two other Tanoim. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.